Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventure Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Hey everybody, welcome. We are excited to air our second episode of the Upstate New York Adventures with travel writer Debbie Stone, who we call Fire Monkey. You all know it. And you know what? It's quite interesting. Debbie has managed to go to a lot of places that have to do with sports and the Olympics. And she went to Lake Placid. Our podcast today before this is on Upstate New York's Niagara Falls. So all of that is linked in the show notes. Her article on Lake Placid is also in the show notes. You can link from there, but you can also go to lakeplacid.com and also Lake Placid Legacy Sites. .com to hear and learn more about all the places we're going to talk about today. But Lake Placid is an Olympic haven. And I don't know, maybe Fire Monkey might need to go in a race sometime and like try her luck on being an Olympian. What do you think? What is going on? You know, I didn't know if you were a sports person or not, but it seems, you know, Debbie, welcome back. But it seems like you're in the sports zone lately.
I think I need to, if I'm a fire monkey, I need to carry the torch at the Olympics, okay?
I think so, too.
Just saying.
Well, you know more than about sports than Nancy and I ever will. As people know, as we say on the show, it's like when football's on the TV, we turn the sound off and we put the Nutcracker Suite on. So that's where we're at. And actually, everyone should try it once. It's fun. But is it the stories that come from the Olympics, the actual athlete stories? Because, you know, I'm hoping you get to Natchitoches, Louisiana soon, so you can go to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame and going through that. And I know you've done the Olympic Museum out in Colorado Springs in that area, and then Lake Placid being there. You know, whether or not you know about the sport, it's really this underdog story a lot of times of this dedication, hard work that these athletes and Olympians have put in. Just, I mean, it's insane, actually. And people have to buy into it financially. You have backers and the pressure. Can we have a cocktail yet? Because I'm already like worn out by what they do. But is that a draw for you as an individual?
I think it's a draw. To be honest, I think it's a draw for everybody who watches the Olympics or is interested in the Olympics. I think it's you know, of course, you're watching the performance, you're watching the athletes do their thing, but it's the stories, it's the backstories when they go to, you know, zero in on somebody who comes from wherever and, you know, the road that they have taken to get there or the challenges that they've had to surmount. And, you know, I think that the human interest part of that is, I think, what really gets people, you know, quite interested in the whole scene or the whole story of the Olympics. You know, it's not just watching the events, but it's hearing about certain athletes. You know, I mean, we all remember like the Jamaican bobsled team, you know, and it's like, you know, those stories, they're wonderful. They're fabulous. And you're right. If there's somebody, an underdog, you know, or so we rejoice and then we get sad if something happens and, you know, but it's a way to, I think, connect the greater audience of the world, whatever, to the athletes so that it's a more of a personalized, I think, connection to try to forge that with between the people watching, the observers, and the people watching on TV, whether you're there in person. But I think that's really a part of it. The human interest is a huge part of it.
The human, because it's also inspiring. And I think, you know, we're entering 2024 and we want these stories. We want the can do, because the news sucks compared to travel writers' stories. I'm going to read your story before I watch the news. Thank you. Yours are far more inspiring and make me want to do things and grow. And I think that's the other thing, is like, how far can we push ourselves? I mean,
yeah,
do you feel that as a writer?
Because
you travel a lot. You are on the road. You're in the sky. You are, you know, you're a fire monkey, but like you travel a lot. Do you ever feel like, oh, I'm going to push it one more time? Like, I don't care if I'm going to be sleeping on the plane the whole time. I'm going to just do that one more time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
I will keep doing it until I can't. You know what I mean? Those, like you said, those stories, they inspire people to like, you know, maybe not to say, oh, I'm going to be an Olympic athlete, but But maybe it's like, hey, look at, or you know, what's really inspiring often is the Paralympics, you know, or Special Olympics. But you see what people are capable of and what they can push themselves to. And maybe you say to yourself, you know, today I'm going to walk, you know, I'm going to walk another half hour today, or I'm going to see if I can add mileage to my daily walk, or I'm going to see if I can, you know, this, I think it's, there's inspiration that comes on different levels, and whatever people can take from it and apply to their own lives is wonderful, you know, to say, gee, look what they did. They didn't have the resources. They didn't even have somebody, you know, pushing them. They saw something, they wanted to try it, and then they wanted to keep at it, and they kept at it, and you feel like, wow, you know, if somebody can do that, you know, maybe I can do something on my level.
And it's another thing to remember when we talk about the Olympics is, you know, Pierre Coubertin, who really was an advocate for it and pushed for him and the Olympics throughout, you know, years. I mean, this is some ancient history here, or very historic, the Olympic Games. And it was about peace, about, yes, it's
absolutely
competition, but it was about nations coming together,
yep.
as I recall it.
Yes.
And did
and
you
putting
feel
out
that?
The best of their athletes and putting out, you know, the best of their athletes and in a, you know, a competition situation. But it was to bring nations together, you know.
And being at Lake Placid, I mean, this is the Winter Olympics, which I think is the scariest of all because it's cold. Like, you know, I would like to just
Yes,
sit
it
down
is
with my hot
cold.
cocoa. It's cold, but like going there, I mean, that's got to be just thinking about, you know, there's skiing, there's, you know, all that, you know, all the crazy stuff. You know, what I can't remember the thing when they go down the it's like a bobsled thing, but there's that other thing that luge, is
The
it luge?
luge,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's kind of cool though, like that, but
It's
still.
it. I think when you're there and you can get what they call like a legacy sites passport, you can gain access to the facilities. You can see them. You can see what's been used, what was used, what has been upgraded, what is still used. And what is wonderful about Lake Placid is, you know, in some countries, you know, the locations, the facilities end up dormant and unused after the Olympics has been held at that particular place. In Lake Placid, they decided, no, these are facilities we are going to use them. We are going to have the public use them. We're going to have athletes use them, and we are going to upgrade them, and we are going to improve on them, and you know, continue to make this a destination and a worldwide place for athletes to come. And they've done that, and so it's wonderful as a visitor to be able to go there and to see what they've been doing. And you can go to these various sites, like the jumping complex, like the Olympic Center, the White Face Mountain, another mountain, Mount Van Hovenberg, and you can see where, in fact, these athletes compete. And also, you know, for example, at the skating oval, I mean, the public, you can go and skate. So it's wonderful. It's a multi-usage situation that they have there. And because they have the weather there in the winter, it is one of the few places in the world where that weather is consistent in winter. And as I mentioned in my story, there is, you know, there is talk about wanting to, you know, try for another Winter Olympics at Lake Placid. You know, currently they've been the site for two, 1932 games and the 1980 games. And, you know, there's been only, you know, three locations in the world that have hosted two Winter Olympics, and they are one of them. And so, you know, what is nice about it is their venues continue to be used for visitors and for events. And, you know, it's a very busy place there during different events and during, you know, all sorts of competitions that go on there. So it was wonderful to be able to see, you know, where do they do the bobsled? Where do they do the luge? Where do they do this jumping, ski jumping, which was like insane. I kept telling myself, this is insane. Whoever wants to do this, it's crazy. But it's like you think, oh my God, I have such awe and respect for these athletes. You know, it's amazing to see the actual facilities up close as opposed to on a TV.
And when you were there, I mean, is this like a four season place
yes
that
yes yes
to
yes
experience these
you
sites? Because I know people go there to ski too.
Oh my gosh, they have fabulous skiing. You know, you're in upstate New York where, you know, it's cold and there's snow, and so, you know, there's lots and lots of skiing, there's lots of ski jumping, there's lots of hockey games in the Olympic Center. You know, you can go see where the Miracle on Ice happened, which is very exciting for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people know the movie and you know, have known the story and this incredible you know, against all odds type of scenario that happened. And so it's, you know, it's really wonderful to kind of walk in the steps of these athletes and then to see their pictures and their photos and the, you know, all of that, as well as, you know, the Olympic Museum, which is really well done there.
Now, do you think during the summer you could go hiking? I know there's skiing and
Yes.
everything, like hiking in the fall.
Absolutely. Yep,
Cool.
absolutely. There's tons of hiking in the area, you know, and you've got mountains to hike in and everything. So, yeah, you can also try things. They have, you know, different activities you can do at the various sites, you know. And so, yeah, it's a wonderful four-season place. And the town of Lake Placid is charming. You know, wonderful little restaurants and cafes and breweries, and you know, the lakes are there, and it's a very charming charming town.
And then when you were there, where did you stay? Like, I mean, just out of
We
like, you know, having this experience, because it seems like you're going to get all this Olympic, amazing Olympic history, but there's a lake, there's hiking, there's, you know, a downtown and that kind of thing. So it's like a destination to hang out no matter what season.
Absolutely. And you know, I stayed right on Main Street, which I wanted to. I
Oh,
wanted to be
cool.
able to walk places, and
Yeah.
I love to be able to walk out the door and not have to get into a car and drive somewhere. And so I was at the Grand Adirondack Hotel, which is right on Main Street. And yeah, it was perfectly located, and you could walk over to the lake. Mirror Lake is right there in town, and it's lovely. And you could walk around Mirror Lake. It's a beautiful, reflective lake. And when we were there in October, and of course the leaves were changing and were quite colorful. And yeah, so you know, it's an all season place. Just make sure that when you go, you if you're there in the late fall and the winter, that you definitely bring your layers.
Oh, bring your layers. Yep. Well, yeah. Now, how far from New York City? Because this was part of this two-part episode about upstate New York. Because a lot of times you say New York, and everyone always thinks New York City, which is not a bad thing. But we want to get everybody acclimated that there's this whole other area of the state of New York that is amazing. We've done a little bit of Seneca Falls area, which is
Oh yeah.
gorgeous. Oh my gosh! And oh, it's
Yeah.
gorgeous.
It
So
is
yeah.
probably, I mean, it's probably 5.5 hours driving,
That's not
maybe.
bad.
It's
Not
not
bad.
too bad. We actually were coming from New York City, but we took the train up to Boston. We wanted to see some people, and
Oh.
then we rented a car and went from Boston over to Lake
Oh,
Placid,
cool.
and we went through Lake George, which is another beautiful community on the lake, and then from Lake Placid we went over to Niagara on the other side of the state, and then back to Boston. I mean, it's not like you're, you know, driving 10 hours or anything like that, you know. So it's doable, and you know, it's I think people can combine it with other things if they're going up there. Like you said, the whole state of New York is has some beautiful scenery, whether you're, you know, up there as you said in Seneca Falls, and then this whole area. It's there's so much natural beauty, you know. And then the whole wine area there is
Finger
amazing
Lakes.
as well.
Oh.
Yes, which is
Oh.
incredible. I was
Have
there
you done that?
several years
Oh.
ago. Yeah, it's incredible. You can't throw a stone, and you'll hit, you know, wineries everywhere you go up there.
We were close. I mean, I think the close, well, we did Seneca Falls, but like when we were talking about Niagara Falls earlier, I was like, New York City, and I'm like, oh yeah, we almost ended up at Niagara Falls. Like I remember like almost driving into it, like
Really?
going, no, this, yeah, because we listen, the way we travel sometimes, I don't even know how we do it. I really don't, because GPS and Lisa get ourselves into little twirly whirly places. But like up in Lake Erie, we were up in Lake Erie, which I know you did on the Ohio side, we did on the Pennsylvania side. And I
Right.
remember going out on the wine trails up there, and we were at a winery outside of Erie. It was east of Erie. And they're like, Buffalo's right there. And I'm like, no way. And this winemaker is taking us around in a truck all through these vineyards. And some of them were for Welch's grapes. I believe, yes, it was Welch's. And some were for wine. And we could see Canada. And he goes, there's Buffalo just down there. Like, no way. It's like that
Ah,
close. And so
yeah.
I remember we were, it wasn't that long ago going, because we drove there. No. And then we went to, how we got to Seneca Falls was when we went from Connecticut to Michigan, and that was a whole other trip. But and we almost ended up in New York City because I stupid. It was just the way all of a sudden this exit was like, you're going to New York City. I'm like, oh no, I'm not. And I literally pulled the car over onto a sidewalk, like, that's not happening. I don't know how to do that. I'm not doing it. I'm scared. I'm gonna call Debbie, the fire monkey, to get me out of this position. Because she's been there. She went to the ice cream museum. She went to the Timberland Museum. Yeah, but listen, you didn't drive it, right? You didn't drive it from Connecticut not knowing what you're doing. You know what I mean? I think you should be prepared before you drive in. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But I'm a little nervous of that. And if we do New York City, which we will, you know, we're going to, you know, gonna do everything. But it just is, I think it's so important because places get this, like Louisiana, people always just think New Orleans. And I love New Orleans. Do not get me wrong. New Orleans rocks, but there's so much more. And I think the same for your home state of Illinois. People don't realize Illinois is one of the most beautiful states in the country. It really is. And that's beyond Chicago. Chicago is not all of Illinois. And I think that's so important about what we're talking about today are these places that we forget about, you know, that, that we
Well,
don't know about.
when a state has a very famous city like New York City, you people do tend to forget about the rest of the state, but it's a huge state too. It's a big state.
Yeah,
And
it is big.
there's much to explore, much to explore. And I would put Lake Placid on your itinerary for anybody who is interested in seeing where history was made, not once but twice, and where maybe history will be made again in the future. And in that museum, you can see all the, historical artifacts and learn so much about, what went on. And to me, it was that to me was very, very special. They did a really, really good job with the interactive quality of the exhibits. You can be right in the middle of the action, hurtling down a bobsled run. You can, speed skate around the oval. You can, all of these things. You can see the Olympic torches over the years, their uniforms, equipment, their pins, the mascots, the first gold medal ever awarded. All this is there. And so it chronicles all of the glory, and it's a keeper of the history of that place and what went on there.
And when where you were staying at the Grand Adirondack Hotel, you know that's a hard word to say, Adirondack. You know, you've never been like in those areas, but I know that word well from chairs and other things. But you went to the Marcy Bar. Okay, so she had cocktails. Fire Monkey had cocktails, good cocktails, but also really good food and apparently really, really good breakfast. And you had poutine there too. So
I did,
poutine
well, I didn't have any
reigns
because
supreme in both places.
it's there, but I am not, I wanted to eat some other things, and like you had mentioned before, poutine is incredibly filling. And
I had no idea what I was in for.
and I think if you've, I've had it once or twice, especially I've had it up in Montreal and in Canada. And I know what it's like. And I opted for something else. But I think if people have never tried it and they're up in that area, they definitely should at least give it a try.
But did you try the fish and chips when you were there? Because I know that was a part of the menu too. Because I know you love your fish and your seafood.
Yes, I had, and I had the, I think I had the seared scallops there, that which were very
Ooh.
delicious. Yeah, really, really good. And they have great breakfast skillets and omelets too in the morning. And it's very, very good. Good place to fuel up and then end your day. It's a nice little lounge bar in there as well.
I love it when you get cocktails, craft cocktails, you know,
The
cocktails and
crafted ones,
mocktails.
yeah,
Ooh.
crafted, innovative, creative. You know, when bartenders are creative and give you things you've never tried, and you know, I think that that's all a part of the fun. And you know, travel, eating and drinking, it's all a part of travel. You know, and it's fun to try new things when you're in a different place.
Well, Fire Monkey, before you go, where's the next destination? Because the next
Yeah.
episode will be in January. Oh my gosh. How are we going to handle that? We're going. I know you're somewhere else. You know, I mean, we've got so many stories from you and everyone, we're excited. Debbie just goes everywhere. That sounds bad, but it's true. You go all over. Anything on the horizon we should know about?
Well, I
Can
am
you
going to
tell us?
Samoa, and I will be going to Samoa itself and then American Samoa to do the national park in American Samoa,
Now,
but
you
also to
know, we're
spend
really
time in
jealous.
Samoa.
Yeah, we're a little, not just a little, but a lot jealous. Like the Emerald Isle jealous. Like that much greenery is happening. Yeah, but the reality is we can all do it, you know.
Absolutely,
It's a
absolutely.
very accessible, well, it's accessible, but it's one of those other destinations that when, you know, for national park lovers, you know, and travelers, we're all like, okay, go to Yosemite, Yellowstone, all these iconic places. But to me, that's one of those, wow, you're going to have to go out there. You know, we've got these territories all over the world, Puerto Rico, Guam, you know, American
Right.
Samoa. So, and all of them have a park related to really mostly military history. But you're going to have some fun. Virgin Islands, we have parks
Yes.
there too.
Saint
So,
Saint John. Yeah. Yep.
yeah,
Yep.
I
Yep.
can't wait to hear how your experience is there, and we wish you a wonderful rest of the season and can't wait to chat with you in the new year, Fire Monkey, and may you have lots of good fire in your future.
Thank you very much, and you as well.
Okay, everyone, again, the links are in the show notes for the articles and also for the other episodes as well. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Thank you so much. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventures Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Debbie is here every fourth Tuesday. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.